Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 528. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay. Been a little sleepy this past week. I don't know why. I mean, I'm just getting old, but I'm good. I'm happy to be here tonight and some wholesome wrestling content and not that filth that was talked about earlier in the week.
Yeah, I mean, and there really wasn't a whole lot of getting around the filth. Because it was right there in the main event of the show. So, I mean, you know, there's no getting around that one. Yeah, thankfully, both NXT and AEW stayed away from that grossness. I guess, did you do a picture in picture viewing or like two screen viewing experience, or did you go the ninny route like me and watch one and then the other? Because I was behind on both of them anyway.
I watched them both at the same time. NXT got the TV usage and AEW got the tablet usage, which I think probably affected my opinion of AEW, and I probably should have did the other way around, because one thing that I noticed watching on a tablet but wasn't really noticing, the AEW crowd was, like, very into it. It felt like a loud professional crowd, and it did not come off like that watching on the tablet. So...
Yeah, they did have a lot of crowd shots, and even the wife, she watched a little bit. She watched the Riho and Nyla Rose match, and well, I guess the tag team match was the only thing after that.
Yeah.
So she watched that portion with me, and she was even talking about how much of a reaction some of the people in the crowd were having. Like, that's how obvious
and
it was.
And also, I have to say, it felt good seeing Tony Schiavone again.
You know, it's kind of funny. I definitely went on a fairly long tear of hating Tony Schiavone. But, you know, the funny thing that I guess I thought about it a little bit more is that he's the Keller guy. And I think that makes a difference. When he was in WCW, he had to be the play-by-play guy. And maybe I just don't think he's a good play-by-play guy, because his recent work has been good to me. Because is he an MLW sometimes?
Yes.
Okay, because I don't catch a lot of their shows, but I have caught a couple, and I liked them on there, and I liked them last night during the Dynamite.
I think Tony Schiavone just got a bad rep because he represented WCW at his worst. And nobody came unscathed from, like, that era of WCW. Like, it took Tenay a long time to get his respect again. Even Heenan kind of, like, looked at us like, are we sure he's that good? Even though it's kind of like, it wasn't them, it was just a product they were covering. It's just a thing where Tony Schiavone just felt so, you know, I remember him from, like, NWA and WWF stuff in the 80s and, like, early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
So it was kind of like, he was just always... I never thought he was great. I just always thought he was good and solid, which was fine. It's just funny thinking he left wrestling because he was just so disgusted by people just turning on him that he didn't think people wanted to hear him anymore. So him coming back like a, you know, not a cock in here, like, welcome back Tony Schiavone in 2019. I don't know if heartwarming is the proper word. It's just, it's definitely fulfilling. Like, I can separate Tony from the product he was covering, so I'm happy to have him there. And to be honest, it's necessary because Jim Ross, yeah. That's all I'll say. I'm like, yes, I think it's like the nostalgia, the name of Jim Ross is carrying the actual performance of Jim Ross.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I felt like for the most part, he seems better at covering the product when it's not New Japan. Him and Josh Barnett never felt comfortable to me, even though they said that they got along. It just never felt right. So I just think having him around different people helps. And, you know, because they did kind of cover up the majority of his mistakes last night. But yeah, he isn't as good as he used to be. Like, I'd take any of the play-by-play guys in the WWE right now over Jim Ross.
I mean, like, he's been doing it for a long time. He's got to be up there in ages. It's almost like Pat Summerall at the end. Where it's like, you know, clearly John Madden is carrying him. Like, Pat Summerall needs to be not doing what he's doing. But it's like, you're not going to tell him that because it's a legend.
Yeah, and I felt like they kind of did that because Shivani and Excalibur certainly did their fair share of talking last night to kind of limit what JR had to do.
So my question is, out of the two, which one did you like more?
I guess I'm still leaning towards I liked NXT more. But it's one of those things where it's hard to me. In a lot of ways, it's hard to compare them because they're trying to get two different things going on. Like, the WWE basically put on a takeover, a pay-per-view level show, and AEW, they still had to introduce people to the crowd. Like, they've got a lot of groundwork to lay. Like, the WWE acted like everyone kind of knows who the NXT people are. And while it makes some sense, like, they almost still need to be explaining who those people are because they haven't been on USA but a whole 3 weeks now.
I would say this, though. If you're watching NXT on USA, I doubt like it's your first time watching NXT. I mean, it might be some people that's like that, but it's kind of like, you know who, like, the stars are.
Yeah. You're right.
AEW's kind of like, it's a brand new thing, and I know, like, they won the ratings, which makes sense because it's their first, you know, NXT is kind of like, it's a known, even with a lot of great matches, still NXT, you know, once you get into AEW's like the brand new thing, and it came off as like, you know, fresh and new and professional. But if as me as a wrestling fan, I watch AEW and I see Cody Rhodes and Sammy Guevara, and I turn to NXT and I see Adam Cole and Matt Riddle, I'm like, match wise, I know which one I'm watching.
Yeah, and I would still, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I probably lean towards NXT being better. Is that I guess I thought that Cole versus Riddle was probably my favorite match of the night. Like, even though it was the first match that I watched in, you know, this 4 hours and 15 minutes of wrestling we watched in the last 24 hours, that one stood out to me the most.
I mean, it was a great match, and it started off first. It's kind of like, they were not messing around, like, Wednesday Night NXT. Just between the match quality, you know, you start off with that match. You know, Io Shirai have a hard-hitting match with Mia Yim. Then you have the women's match. Then you have, like, a few matches establishing people. And then that tag match was just, like, like, you start off with a great match. You end with a great match. You bring back Finn Balor to NXT, and Ciampa's back in NXT. A lot of things happen in, like, 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's I couldn't be more happy that Balor's down there. Just because they seem to be continuing and kind of to the argument that AEW was more fresh. Like, when Balor was in the WWE, the main part of the WWE, they still didn't seem to know what to do with him.
Yeah.
Just so, even from that standpoint, because Tyler Breeze kind of started coming back there, and he was already treated like more of a big deal in his little stint in NXT than he ever has been on the main roster. You know, if we can even call it the main roster anymore.
I mean, it's just different because it's kind of like it doesn't feel like a demotion at this point. And being on TV, like, makes a difference. And, yeah, NXT, like, it felt like a big deal. You know, they treating Finn Balor like, you know, returning royalty. I saw the tweet you put talking about he felt at home. It's, you know, he kept getting pushes, like, you know, injuries here, weird feuds here and there. And it's like the size was always a thing. Size isn't going to be an issue with NXT because everyone's around the same size, more or less. It's like the small guys wrestle the small guys. The big guys wrestle the big guys. And they don't really intermingle, which is smart. And him and Adam Cole is like, that's like a good fit. it's just hilarious to me. Like, you see how the Street Profits are treated on Raw. And I was talking to my friend Jeff, like, they treat them like the Crows from Dumbo when they're on Raw. And then you see them in the NXT and they come out with Bianca Belair just looking all smooth. And then Wale's coming wrapping them to the ring. And it's kind of like, it just felt natural. Like, NXT feels hip and modern in a way that doesn't feel forced. It just feels like this is just regular things. And it's amazing that it's Triple H doing that.
Yeah. Because what'd you call him? CrossFit Triple H?
CrossFit Paul Heyman. It's kind of like
Paul Heyman's
whole thing in ECW was he was hip to culture. Like, he was always kind of like ECW felt modern compared to like WCW, WWE. NXT feels modern compared to everything on WWE. Like, they make everybody else look stodgy.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely has a different air about it than other WWE programming, and I'm really glad that they seem to be keeping it that way, you know, so far on TV. And they've said that they're going to keep it that way, so, I mean, I guess there's no reason not to believe them.
Yeah, I mean, if their ratings stay around, like, close to AEW, they're not going to complain because it's NXT. It's not like that's Raw that's doing that, so...
Oh, right.
So it's not really a worry. People say, oh, what if the ratings stay like that? Okay, so if NXT gets anywhere between 800,000 to like a million one every week, I seriously doubt they're going to complain. Like, that's a good number considering they're not spending a lot on NXT and it's still their third brand. It's not like it's you know, AEW did a great number for its first show and AEW won and they should brag about that, but they beat SmackDown.
Well, yeah, and that was the one thing, the one other thing that I tweeted, and I was watching the NFL games on Fox, and I saw them advertising SmackDown. I'm like, well, that's a big deal if you're getting, you know, ad time during football. And then the wife and I were watching The Masked Singer, which it is quite entertaining, and it definitely would probably not draw what you would think of as a traditional wrestling crowd, in my opinion. But they even have a segment on that show called The SmackDown, which is sponsored by the WWE. Like, that's how much Fox is pushing this thing. And I'm just impressed, really.
I saw a clip of Chris Carter interviewing Kofi Kingston and asking about his match with Brock Lesnar. Like, you know, I know you lost in 2015. And I'm like, Chris Carter's talking about that SmackDown jet, that WWE Network house show match in Japan that people don't remember anymore. It's like, you know, how... And Kobe's like, oh, we don't talk... I'm surprised you brought that up. And I'm like, you're not the only one. Like, he interviewed him like it was like, you know, a sports segment. Like, you know, what did you learn from that match to overcome some, like, Brock Lesnar? And how do you, you know, get yourself in situations like that? And they treated it like it was just a normal thing. And I'm like... We should be used to it by now because all the stuff ESPN did. I'm still not used to this. Like, Fox has been pushing the hell out of, you know, SmackDown being on Fox. They have invested a lot of time and energy to the point where it's like, yeah, you're not going to forget about SmackDown for lack of trying at all. especially now when, you know, The Rock's going to be there. I've seen about 25 commercials with The Rock being advertised for SmackDown.
Oh, I can't believe I haven't caught one of those yet. Of course, it might be because I don't usually watch commercials. So there could be that. yeah, because I guess that's the other thing. Like, I guess I don't want to do the duels to, I guess, to get off the Fox thing a little bit. But I think it's hard to divide your attention to try and watch both things at the same time.
Yes.
So I know that it took me a little bit longer to view. And I was pretty sleepy by the time I finally... Because I think I watched about an hour of AEW last night before I went to bed. And yeah, that was a lot to get through. Because even they were kind of limited commercial-wise. It wasn't quite as much as the WWE. But they did not have that many interruptions.
Limited commercial breaks, as they said. And I laughed at first. Both matches, the first match for both shows ended at the exact same time. I'm like, this is some scam BS right here. Wednesday night wore my ass. Because they were having, like, when they had commercial breaks, like, they were both having commercial breaks at the exact same time. A lot of times. It's kind of like, you know, well, somebody watched. Did somebody put a clip like they were showing? Were they showing NXT at AEW on the side screen?
Oh, I don't know.
I saw somebody put that on Twitter, or was the other way around. Like, you know, they were showing that somebody was watching the other show. And the fact that WWE actually congratulated AEW for, like, winning. Some, like, you know, the true winners are the wrestling fans. We look forward to having healthy competition. Yeah, that was not happening during the Monday Night Wars with WCW.
I'm half surprised it's happening right now.
I mean, it's enough for everybody. And competition makes everyone better. And WWE's not a business anymore where it's like, you know, AEW gets good, we're going to go out of business. It's different than it was now. And to be honest, ratings are nice, but between streaming and DVR, it's easy to watch both. Can watch one and then the other, or watch both at the same time. Like, it's not this whole, I watch one, I got a VCR, I got a recording on a VHS tape and rewind it, or I'm flicking through commercials because I'm not going to see it again if I don't have a VCR. Like, those days are done. So.
yeah, there is definitely a big difference in consumption these days, no matter which way you decide to go. So, and yeah, I guess when you don't watch it simultaneously, you don't find out them about people taking the same breaks and having very similar length matches.
Yes, it happened at similar times, and it was definitely noticeable. Here's my thing with AEW. It's too many people that's there that either I'm not entertained with in the ring, I just don't like their characters. And that's the biggest thing I have to, like, overcome. Like, Cody Rhodes, the human being, is fine, more or less, for the most part. Cody Rhodes, the wrestler's like, he's okay, he's good. I've never really been excited about a Cody Rhodes match. I never thought he was a bad wrestler. I never just was like, oh, I need to watch Cody Rhodes wrestle. I'm like, okay. No, yeah. So that's there. That Pac match was fine to the ending. MJF, if I never see him again, I will be just fine. I know why people like that gimmick. I cannot stand that character at all. Like, that's a turnoff.
Yeah, and those are kind of the main established characters.
I mean, the Young Bucks, I've never been... Like, I recognize that they're a great tag team, while acknowledging that I cannot stand anything about them. Like, I despise them. So that's kind of tough, considering that's the main people at AEW. Is like, I don't like half their main eventers. And Chris Jericho lumbering around with that shredder coat looking like Vince Neil. I'm like, this is y'all champ? And that, I never saw, I didn't know that elbow was his friend. I'm like, He looks like he's about to fall down. That's a finisher?
I feel like he's kind of pulled it off a little bit better these last couple of times. But
it's the elbow.
I feel like you... Well, it's just weird that he's doing kind of an MMA thing late in his career. Like, Undertaker, when he decided to go kind of MMA, it made some sense, weirdly enough. Especially since I feel like Biker Taker really started that trend.
Yeah, but it's just a back elbow. That's it! You remember when Cena bust out that punch? That was his six move of doom? When he went to China, learned Mandarin, grew his hair out, and it's like, what? That's why I felt my, because the Cold Breaker is awesome, and you know the Boston Crab is awesome. Elbow, and like he's tripping over his feet. I'm like,
sometimes you reinvent yourself. And it's not necessarily for the better.
I mean,
I think Jericho hangs his hat on being able to kind of like adapt and move on. And he definitely thinks that this is his way to adapt and move on.
Kudos to him. And I'm glad he's consistently relevant for what, decade number three or decade number four, we'll have to be on with his career. But I mean, I just see an old drunk stepdad out there. Like, he's the biggest star they can get, and he's probably the most mainstream star that they have. So, I mean, him and Moxley, so I get that. But 2019, that Chris Jericho's your world champion just seems kind of like... You can't get on WWE for, like, keep pushing Brock Lesnar, and you got Chris Jericho. You just can't do that.
That's why sometimes I do. You kind of hinted at it. Like, sometimes I'm like, I just feel like this war is just kind of manufactured, just literally to help both sides out. You're right. Like, there's a part of me that says I understand why Jericho's champion, but then, yeah, you kind of look at him and it's just like, he can still move okay in the ring, but his better matches recently have been all like street fight type things. Where
he's reached that Jeff Jarrett era of his life. I mean, we all get there, and that's fine. Yeah. But I always say the whole thing, like, if I didn't watch wrestling, and I turned on TV, and I saw Chris Jericho, I mean, they could tell me he was a big deal, and I would see him in that jacket, I'm like, he's a champ. But to be fair, if I saw Adam Cole, I would think the same thing for different reasons, because I'm like, How come this guy don't eat? So,
yeah, I still don't understand how Adam Cole has gone anti-WWE. Like, I think just about everyone packs on some weight there. Adam Cole has just developed abs, and that's about it.
Tapeworm, baby. So, yeah, but, No, and, you know, it was like the matches were fine. None of the matches really stood out to me like, oh, this is a great match in AEW. Like, some that were good. Some that were not so good. Yeah, it's just, I'll say this, Moxie coming in and beating up Kenny Omega again and doing a DDT through a coffee table. I'm like, that seems kind of excessive.
I was surprised at what I felt like was a pretty safe bump there, honestly, because I don't think Kenny Omega's head came anywhere close to that table.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that Moxley's back broke most of that.
Ruined a mama's coffee table, so you know how that goes. And
yeah, they probably got that at a thrift store because no one actually has that in their living room right now.
Very true. And seeing how it ends with Jake Hager, aka Jack Swagger, and I'm like, they're still trying to make him a thing. I thought we were past that by now. And also, the biggest thing with him is you cannot have a roster of small wrestlers and then have someone like him on there because he looks like Godzilla.
Yeah, he is a very large gentleman. And even though I feel like he slimmed down for MMA a little bit, he's still, what, like 6'6 or something like that?
Yeah, he's got that Billy Gunn thing where it's like he's deceptive. You don't realize how tall he is until you put him in a ring with people that you thought were tall. He's towering over them.
yeah. And like you said, like NXT kind of keeps their big guys separated from their little guys. Like, there's nowhere for the little guys to hide for Jack Swagger because they don't really have any other big guys.
Yeah, like WWE has most of the big guys as it is, and like it's a, like you're not gonna see Dominik Dijakovic in the ring with like, you know, Kyle O'Reilly. Like they're not gonna do that. Where because even like with them, with him and Bobby Fish, the Street Profits are big, but they aren't super big. They're deceptively big. Like, you know, Montez Ford is just like built like a supermodel. Angelo Dawkins is huge, but he's like the he's big that doesn't look big.
Yeah, he's a pretty big dude, but he isn't like super muscly. But he's not overweight though, really either. Like he just looks like he's big.
Yeah, so it fits. So they do a good job doing that. I mean, it's hard with AEW because like you work with what you got. And not only is like Jake Hager like tall, he's got those long gorilla arms. Like it's just, it's hard not to notice him because he's just a large man. And that's a funny Jericho, LAX, and Jake Hager. I'm like, that's a funny stable.
Well, and that was the one thing I'm like, hold on, is this a stable now? Like, is that where we're going with this thing? Because, yeah, there's nothing like having, Mr. America and LAX in the same vicinity. That really does not seem to mesh well.
You can go ahead and build that wall. We're already over here. So I've heard the attitude from certain folks. So that's neither here nor there. I mean, that whole thing is like, you know, NXT is basically Faction Wars right now. It's Undisputed Era with all the belts against everybody else, so what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And having a strong heel stables has always been successful because it's like, who's going to be the champ that overcomes all that to get the title? And that's something to push.
Yeah, I do feel like they do a very similar job in booking so far in AEW. I feel like they're more New Japan influenced than they are WWE influenced, and how things get presented and establishing that kind of heel group, kind of like the Bullet Club over there, you know, that can kind of lord over everyone. Although, I mean, they just have a ton of factions, but I mean, you already have the Elite as a faction itself. So you definitely need someone to be able to counteract that. So, oh man, yeah, what a weird group. Now that I'm talking myself into the fact that it's definitely
unlike the Undisputed Era, it's kind of like they don't seem like Jerichoholics don't have too much in common, but it's only been 1 week. So let's see how things go.
And, yeah. You know,
that's a hard thing. It's like, you know, it's, for some people, they've seen AEW like that. For a lot of people, it was, you know, it's brand new. You know some of the people, you don't know some of the other people, and you kind of like, I'll say this, it looked professional. It looked like, okay, it didn't look like rinky-dink wrestling, and it, like, it was slumming it. It looked like, you know, a viable alternative to WWE, and that's what you need to do.
Yeah, because, like, I guess camera work-wise, it's kind of funny. Like, I don't know what I expect, but there aren't a whole lot of good ways to present wrestling. Like, I don't feel like anyone's gone outside of, like, the hard camera, you know, following people camera a little bit. You know, they don't kind of have, like, an MMA usually style where it's all kind of close up. I guess I'm in agreement with you too that it looked very professional. Like, it's the best product outside of the WWE
presentation. And it's hard to do that. Like, that's the first time since WCW went out of business that you could see that, where it was like product on TV, and it was like, this looks as good as what WWE can do.
I mean, it killed me. I think I watched Impact as I was doing the show with Chris earlier this week. And you can definitely tell that there's a downgrade in quality there. And there's definitely one for Ring of Honor, too. You know, I get, well, I don't really like a lot of stuff about Impact. I'm okay with whatever ROH does, but just okay. They are not a very enthusiastic brand to get behind. So, yeah, it's going to be kind of nice to have something that is of a better quality. And I guess I always think it's a little bit weird with New Japan just knowing that some of that stuff's taped. There really is something about it being, you know, live on TV that draws me in. I mean, because New Japan does a good job of keeping up the new shows on Access. But I guess sometimes when I know it's taped, it's just like, well, it's kind of not relevant now. And I don't kind of bother watching it sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes. Like, I've watched New Japan on Access and I've enjoyed it, but it's not the same because it's kind of like, I mean, for me, it doesn't matter too much because I don't watch New Japan live like that, but it's definitely something where if you know it's already happened, then almost like, what's the point of watching it? But I've watched the live shows they had. They've come off well, but it didn't come off as like, you know, like AEW. It came off like, you know, a bigger NXT, if that made sense.
Well, yeah, because I think, I want to say that Cody Rhodes tweeted out a number that was 14,100 and some change.
Mm-hmm, that's a nice number for a non-WWE thing. And here's the thing, it's not a pay-per-view, it's just a show. Like, you don't get numbers like that anymore normally, unless it's like, you know, WWE.
Well, and I would honestly argue that I think the last time I saw that size crowd for the WWE here in Columbus would be when we got the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, like WWE's not getting that number unless it's a pay-per-view or it's like an MSG or something like that. So even they're not even hitting those numbers anymore for regular shows like that.
Yeah,
that may change in the future. Because, you know, SmackDown, like between Raw and SmackDown doing their thing, like they've been hyping WWE again. I always say competition makes everyone better. And if everyone steps the game up, it's going to be good for everybody because you're not getting complacent anymore. I know people was laughing at the idea, like, oh, is Pyro a big deal? I'm like, yeah, if you grew up on it, I missed it. I'm sorry. Like, Pyro mattered. And that was the one thing that kind of stood out.
Oh.
And it coming back, even though they still need to work the kinks out.
Well, that's what you get when you stop using it for years on end.
I'm like, why does Alexa Bliss have it?
Because AJ Styles
doesn't. I'm like, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you, could you decline it? Maybe.
Why maybe. Would you?
Maybe you don't feel like it's part of your character.
I mean, Becky got a fire. She got a fire extinguisher. like she used to get. So, I mean, it's, you know, just having Brock come out and having his fireworks was just like, oh, the good old days.
Yeah, I guess I'm neither here nor there with the pyro in that regard. Like, it doesn't bother me aside from when I'm there live, and even though I know it's coming half the time, at least half the time, I jump anyway when it hits.
I would just say this. Can you imagine if Kane used to come out and do the whole, I'm going to have flame come out the post, and fire never came out? He just did it. Like, it would just look stupid. Or Batista come out and do the machine gun thing, and he just did it and nothing happened. He'd look like a 6-year-old.
Well, good thing he came out at WrestleMania, because I do feel like they busted out the pyro usually for that.
Yeah, Mania is basically when they use the pyro. Like, that's the only time they used it. Now they're using it, you know, bringing it back. I'm just wondering who's going to get, who's going to have it, who's not going to have it. I'm looking forward to SmackDown because everyone's assuming Bray Wyatt's going to get somebody. And he's got so many options Friday night. So if I'm Sting, I'm carrying my bat. I'm just saying.
Oh, poor Sting. I guess it wouldn't surprise me if he's the victim.
I mean, it's either Sting or The Rock. And I don't know, and I'm just wondering, like, you got The Rock. How are they going to use him?
That's a good question. Like, obviously he is bigger than wrestling at this point.
Yes.
So, like, I guess you use him however. Like, I feel like he's just been an MC or just made fun of people the last couple of times he's been on.
You have him there. There's no way you can't have him have a segment. You can't have him there and not have a segment with Kofi Kingston. I mean, that's just seem like that's just would be malfeasance if that doesn't happen. But it's like, you know, special guest ref, which would be like, and it's funny, you know, the first episode of SmackDown was Rock wrestling Triple H for the title, and HBK was a special guest ref and screwed The Rock. So it would definitely be, you know, like part of history, just having a segment talking trash. Do you really have Bray Wyatt laying them out? Like, The Rock, that's the one thing about The Rock. He don't care. Like, whatever. Like, when it involves the rest, like,
yeah,
he'll sell for anybody. So that doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I mean, there's always that outside possibility, too, that they're setting up a match for The Rock somewhere down the road. That everyone will just drool over, because, I mean, you could pull off a Rock Brock match again. That's WrestleMania worthy, right?
Yeah, and that helps, because then they get to wrestle each other, and you have to worry if people complain about, oh, they holding down the young boys. Like, no, let the legends wrestle each other so they get their match out the way, and they aren't affecting anybody else. So, and if that would definitely be a mainstream damn match, you know. Movie star Rock versus MMA star Brock Lesnar. I'm definitely looking forward to SmackDown. I can't remember the last time I've said that. Like, I'm just, and it's unfortunate I had to work, but I'll be able to watch it on my tablet. I'm just curious to see who gets used and what, you know, in what form or fashion, because everybody's going to be there. So even like, you know, making his SmackDown return, Sting. Although I can't remember him ever being on SmackDown.
Yeah, I feel like he maybe made like one or two appearances. Like, I don't feel like he made too many appearances, honestly, on SmackDown itself. I feel like he was almost exclusively Raw. Like, and that's the other weird thing about this week. I'm not sure that Chris and I talked about it. It feels really bizarre to have Raw be demoted to the B show.
Yes, I've talked about that too, because it's never happened in our lifetime. They've either both been 1 and 1A, or SmackDown's always been B.
They've certainly presented SmackDown until very recently as B, in my opinion. Like, I think that more times than not, I've preferred the SmackDown product over both of the brand splits. But, at least as far as presentation, I always felt like the WWE favored Raw for sure, since it was the first one. And, it makes some sense. But them, and yeah, how did we not really talk about the announcers on Raw this week?
Oh, I mean, they were inoffensive, so that's the best you can say. Like, if you don't notice them, normally that's a good thing.
Yeah, because I don't even know who that. I know Vic Joseph since Pro Wrestling Ohio, so that's been a long running one. But I don't know who the other. Who was the other new
Oh,
guy?
Dio, the Japanophile?
Oh, yeah.
The anime lover? Like, yeah, I have heard that name. I've never heard him before.
And
I
I guess,
mean,
where did he. Do you know where he came from?
he used to play football and then he wrestled. I think he did some commentary like main event.
Oh. Okay, I mean, I figured he just didn't come out of the blue, but I'm like, I didn't remember hearing him on NXT UK. I don't remember him even, ever doing fill-in on NXT itself. So I'm
No,
like, man.
he did main event with, I think, Joseph and Mickie James.
Oh, that's what Mickie James is doing these days?
That's what Mickie James is doing right now, yes. So, can't wrestle forever. It's funny, like, I saw Chelsea Green doing the same thing. She thinking about doing commentary. Get in where you fit in. You do it. You can do it for a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but, I mean, they were there, like, Lawler wasn't as annoying as I thought he'd be. He still made his same corny jokes, but at this point, I still chuckle at him because it's like, it's corny, but some of them are still funny. You shouldn't be laughing. So it's, I mean, it was, the whole thing was, it was fine. But it's weird because you're used to like SmackDown just being fine and Raw was always being excellent. But it's like, yeah, Raw's the B show. It's funny
Yeah.
saying that, but it is.
And I guess this is another thing I didn't think about. And it was definitely a drum that I've been beating recently. Corey Graves is moved to one show only, which is for, I think, everyone's benefit.
Thank God. Yeah. I mean, one show is not as good as no shows, but it's better than two shows. So, in a two-man booth, like two plus whenever Renee Young does what she does, that's better. Like Cole and I've never really been a fan of three-man booths because it's just too much noise.
Oh,
And
right.
a lot of times I end up to like one person not talking, so.
Yeah, I think that's why I think we've done the three-person podcast. It's someone ends up feeling that way by the end of that
Yeah,
podcast.
because it's kind of like you're trying to figure out who says what. You want to step on somebody's toes, and it just becomes like racket.
Yeah, and there's only so many points of view that you can come from. Yeah, I guess it will be interesting. I'm not sure the last time the WWE used a two-man booth. Like, I almost thought it was a misprint when I saw that it was only two
Mid, I
people.
want to say the mid late 2000s. Because SmackDown always, because even when Raw had three man booths, SmackDown was still
Oh.
like two man for the longest. I think up until like when it was Cole and JBL. And like,
Okay, yeah.
ECW, EC, and ECW was a two man booth when it was Grissom and Striker. Yeah, Raw was the first one to become three and stay three. And I want to say it was like when they added Coachman and he stayed, and then it just didn't, everybody eventually became three.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that's going to be pretty interesting to hear a two-man booth. Michael Cole's gonna have to brush up on his Keller skills a little bit. And I'm
Yeah.
trying to think, because yeah, I mean they're really kind of getting everyone on that show. Because I'm trying to think of who else they mentioned. Because I can just only hope
I
that
mean, Hogan, Flair, Austin, Undertaker, Rock. The Bella Twins have been rumored. I think Trish Stratus, Sting. I mean, it's 2 hours. You can only have some, and they still have it matches. Like, you know, you have Kevin Owens fighting Shane. You
Kofi
got the
and Brock.
Horsewomen tag match. You got Kofi and Brock. So it's a bounce between matches. Like, you know, you're introducing a whole new, because not only a whole new, this is the first time in a long time they've been on TV, and this is the biggest network they've been on. Like, this isn't UPN, this is Fox.
Yeah, and as much as I may have fond memories of Saturday night's main event, it was on at an ungodly hour. So it's not like NBC was giving them prime time. Even though Friday's not traditionally a well-watched night.
It's Friday. Like, it's not like Friday at like 10. It's Friday at like prime time, and it's Fox. They've never been on like big time, big four network TV at a regular time.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, Fox is, you know, they beg Fox to take them. Fox rolled out the red carpet and threw all the damn dough at them. Like, this is a huge deal. This is a very big deal, and it's kind of like everyone's making out to be a big deal. And everyone's making out to be like, this isn't like Fox is making out, this is important to us. We're hyping this. This is something we're just doing. And WWE, I was like, Brock Lesnar's gonna wrestle on TV tomorrow. He hasn't done it in 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be a big deal. I
He's
still think that
wrestling
The
the
Rock
world
is.
champion, Kofi Kingston, which is still funny to say on the same show that The Rock is gonna be there. Mister, I gotta fly everyone my private plane because I'm too busy to sleep.
Oh man. 'Cause how many, I'm gonna guess he's filming a movie right now.
He's either that. Let me see.
I
No,
don't really
he's
look at his
not right now.
docket.
Not right now. He's not, surprisingly. Which is funny because it's like he finished that Jungle Cruise movie that comes out next year. He finished Jumanji. Yes. So right now he's probably like a, you know, probably a gap. So, but I know even then they was trying to work out the logistics of getting him. That's why they didn't hype until this week because everybody was wondering like, you know, you're gonna have to have The Rock. You're gonna be on Fox, right? They're like, yeah, we're working on it.
This guy just does not get out of bed for anything here anymore, people. Come on.
But no, I'm definitely looking forward to SmackDown just to see what happens. And, you know, Hell in a Cell is this weekend. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it certainly got lost in the wash a little bit of this Fox debut, Hell in a Cell. They
In the
have.
Raw, that in the Raw season, quote unquote, season premiere.
Yeah, because they only have the three matches really set for it. Which, and, you know, yeah, Becky Lynch and Sasha. And then, what's the other? Oh, Seth Rollins, The Fiend. And is there one other match? I know that there's one other match that's set up.
Is Bayley wrestling Charlotte again? I don't remember.
I
Or
don't
is it a
even
tag? Is there a tag match?
Yeah, I want to say that there's a tag match of some nature. Oh.
Oh yeah, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns
Oh.
against
Yeah, Rowan and Harper.
Rowan and Harper.
Yeah. So yeah, those are the three matches that are actually slated for Hell in a Cell.
Isn't Miz wrestling Nakamura?
Oh, they might have said something about that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that one.
Yes, but it's just weird where it's like, you know what's happening, but you can't think of the matches. Like, you know. And I wonder if, you know, are we going to bring back, you know, individual stages like they used to have with the pay-per-views since we're bringing back Pyro? Like, is that going to be a thing again? Because that's the thing. They're rolling in money. So you can't say, oh, well, we don't got the money to spend. You got the money to spend. You ain't gonna pay you ain't paying the NXT wrestlers, so you might as well spend it on something.
Yeah, I do wonder with those NXT wrestlers how much. Oh no, hold on! Didn't they say they're getting full salaries? Or someone mentioned they're getting full salaries now?
They said they have not. The raises have not kicked in yet, so they may. They may get raises. They have not as of yet. So we shall see. Because I'm thinking, like, if you're on TV and USA is paying you the money they're paying you, and you're treating it like, you know, it's the third brand, pay them. Like, just pay them. You don't got to pay them a lot. Pay them more than what they be making driving a UPS truck.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone could, at a minimum, get raises. I'm not sure if it needs to be, main roster standard or not, but...
You don't have to, because I look at it this way. If I'm on TV and NXT, why would I be in a, you know, if I'm a certain position, a certain size, why would I be in a rush to go on Raw or SmackDown? It's the only thing I'm missing, the only thing I'm missing out is WrestleMania. Beyond that, if I'm the Undisputed Era, do I really want to go on Raw and get squashed? Like,
yeah,
really, if I'm Adam Cole, the first time they put me in a ring with Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley, like, you know how that's going to look. Why would I want that when I see how they treat people that, for the most part, if you're a certain character type, you're not going to do well once you leave NXT. Like, if I'm Asuka, Kairi Sane, I want to go back to NXT.
Oh, hell yeah. Like,
I mean, with the quickness, if I'm EC3, yes, Full Sail, you still got my room? Put me back there. Even if I'm like Samoa Joe, don't want to keep being on Raw SmackDown and lose every title match or be on NXT and be a badass.
And not not traveling as much has got to be enticing. Because they're still filming at Full Sail, aren't they? Yeah.
Yes, they are. And, like, I mean, like, it's live, so... Eventually they're going to go on the road because it's kind of like you just can't do Full Sail over and over again. The crowd will get tired out, especially if, like, it's not taped anymore. But right now it's kind of like, you know, workout. I think once they have the draft and everybody's situated where they are, it'll be kind of more stable with people doing what, you know, and especially where, I don't know if you noticed, they made a big deal to say the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. Like, that 205, that 205 becoming NXT is, like, becoming a thing. Because I definitely caught that when they said that.
I did miss that certain wording there, that the NXT letters in front of it. But, yeah, I believe that Triple H was running that anyway, so it makes sense to put it under the NXT brand. And it gives them another, you know, another more time. To put people, you know, in more of a roster to put people on TV.
Yeah, and use them better. Like, you know, 205 Live, I always feel like this weird universe where great matches happen and nobody saw them. At least on NXT, it's like you're seen. And with the cross-pollination of NXT, NXT UK, that's always the advantage. Like, you know, Pete Dunne is moving to U.S. to stay in U.S. We're getting Walter and Kushida next week. You know how funny that is? Just like, imagine, like, if you were a wrestling fan like 4 or 5 years ago and somebody told you how wrestling would be now, you'd be like, huh? Like, Cody Rhodes would basically, after, you know, making a bet with Dave Meltzer, start a whole new wrestling promotion, start by a billionaire. And meanwhile, WWE could have whatever indie dream match it wanted. And when they weren't busy, they could just have Goldberg wrestle Dolph Ziggler for shits and giggles.
Yeah, Yeah, podcast me from 5 years ago probably would not have believed what was gonna happen in the following years.
Yeah, DeFranco, you know that girl that come out of Leprechaun, Becky Lynch, she's gonna be the biggest star in WWE after she beats Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania in the main event, along with Ric Flair's daughter. You'd be like, huh? Women are gonna be wrestling in which WrestleMania? Like a video game?
The WWE, it's kind of funny, the track record with the WWE has been definitely cleaned up with the people that a little bit, at least with the people that they did not used to push very well.
it's just mind-boggling to see that, like, you turn on Raw and you see Hulk Hogan arguing with Ric Flair over who's going to make the most money, and you're going to steal my spotlight. Randy Orton there trying not to laugh every third segment. I saw that WWE clip they put when Rusev was just watching his marriage go down the toilet, and Randy Orton is just having a damn blast. And I'm like, they should have showed this on TV. Like, I know it's like, you know, you can't break character. Say what you want about Randy Orton. That was funny, his reaction with the Solaris. Because I didn't get to talk to you about it.
Oh.
And I watched, and I fell asleep at the end of Raw. So I didn't see that segment. So I woke up, like, in the middle of the night, went on Twitter, and everybody's making cuck jokes. And I'm like, what in the world did I miss? And I saw that clip. And I saw Rusev's face, and I just felt so bad for that man. They cannot let those two be happy at all. Like, they've been fucking with them since they've been on the main roster. I don't know what it is they do not like about Lana, but they don't like her, and they take it out on Rusev.
And that guy does pretty much everything he can do to try to look better. You know, especially physically, like, I can't believe how much weight that guy has dropped and how ripped he is at this point. It's not that I thought that he was fat when he started, but man, that guy is just a real tank, because he's kind of one of those guys too that's really wide, just, it seems like, naturally.
Yes, Rusev is a very large man that has worked himself to get over multiple times to no avail. Like, he's done everything he could do, and it's just because it's like, and you know the funny thing, people blaming Vince, and I know it's easy to blame, like, you know, Vince gets to chuck all this. This got Paul Heyman's fingerprints all over it. And it's funny where at first, when I first saw, like, Paul, I saw Vince, I'm like, wait a second. I have seen Paul Heyman and ECW's handwork. And Tommy Dreamer made a story about, you know, he, you know, they booked something, like, he didn't feel like dealing with girls. And the next thing you know, he having a threesome. And it wasn't Tommy Dreamer's idea. Like, Paul Heyman is a low-key dirtbag. And you notice ever since, this isn't the first time we had this whole beautiful women emasculating their man on Raw. Like, we saw the whole thing with Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett. We saw it with basically Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, and now we've seen it again. Like, what? It's the whole thing. It's like, I know it's acting and blah, blah, blah. They're married in real life. Why? I'm like, why we gotta do this just to get some old men's rocks off? Like, what's the point?
I think that's the biggest thing about the cuck jokes is that, A, you're already doing one of those storylines, so to introduce a second one is bizarre just on that level. And then to have it in the main event, it makes it even weirder. And like you said, like, he got the tank entrance, and everything has been downhill since the tank entrance. Because weren't you at that one, at that WrestleMania?
Yes, the California I was, and one? It was so amazing live. He had the tank, He had the whole military out there that's singing a Russian national anthem, lying out there with a fur coat looking like $1 billion. Like, it was awesome. And then John Cena just runs down the ring and beats him with some jean shorts. And it's been downhill. Like, he had a nice run with Rusev Days. Amazingly got over when it was supposed to. Beyond that, it's just been a mess. And now he's there. And it's like, we've talked about Bobby Lashley. Like, they don't know what to do with this man. So, like, let's take it back to the slave days. Let's have this big black man kiss on this blonde. And, like, that'll really show him.
Yeah, it definitely seems like more of a Heyman thing than a Vince thing. Not that Vince doesn't have his weird hang-ups with women and presentation. But yeah, I'm with you. That feels like more of a Heyman vibe to go with the cuckolding than
and Heyman knows what Vince likes. Like, Vince doesn't dislike that, so he's like, oh, that's the thing, pal. I like that. Yeah, she was a real man. Like, so it's, I don't know, and I'm worried about, you know, SmackDown's on Fox. Fox is still Fox. Like, and Fox is still run by the same people. So it's kind of like, I'm going to eyeball some of those storylines too, because it's like, you know, Bischoff, he ain't no angel either when it comes to certain things. And they have a lot of, like, you know, recipe for disasters. The main one I'm looking at right now is that whole, sooner or later you're going to cross that bridge with Sonya Deville. I know they talked about it. I know it's supposed to be a storyline on Total Divas. I know they've been going back and forth. It's like, we don't want to do anything exploitive, but they can't help themselves.
Yeah, it would almost be shocking if they didn't. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's kind of what I expect out of the WWE.
And I mean, it's fair, like we've talked about, like, it's nothing wrong with that if you do it in a tasteful manner, because it's like, you know, treating them like human beings, normalizes things. Cool. It's one, WWE, I've never trusted them with, like, sexual, you know, angles anyway, because they're run by a bunch of children. And it just seemed like it's real, it could be easily exploitable. And although I did laugh, like, Mandy Rose, and he was like, well, I'm a sexual character on TV anyway, so it doesn't make a difference to me. I'm cool with the storyline. I'm like, hey. That's one way of putting it. Like, basically, I'm a trollop, so it doesn't make a difference.
I mean, she really is. She is a throwback as far as how she's presented, Mandy Rose.
Yeah,
like, even though most of those women are hot to really hot, they really present her as a smoke show with the whole, you know, sparkling screen and the way Corey Graves drools over her.
Yeah, and the Silk Stockings theme. I remember the first time I heard that music, I'm like, what in 1997 is this? Because it was just like the view changed, the music changed. They played a soft jazz. I'm like, WWE doesn't do this anymore. But they do that with her, and they only do it with her.
Yeah,
so that's why it works. Is like, she's the only one that gets that, and everybody, you know, she's on the cover of all these. Like, she's Trish Stratus in an era with no other Trish Stratuses.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, she basically took Eva Marie's spot, because that was Eva Marie's thing. Like, you know, I'm just so hot, and that's my main thing. I'm hot. I'm too hot for you, you damn loser. I don't even have to wrestle sometimes. I'm vacationing. And, you know, she got popped for PEDs, and she left, and then slipped Mandy Rose there.
Oh. Yeah, I guess it'd be interesting to see if Sonya Deville ends up cheating on Mandy Rose, or if that's how they present it.
Or Mandy just messes with Sonya Deville. Oh, you know, I just want you to not feel lonely, because I know deep down you're just a lesbian loser.
I know you really love me.
The whole thing is they're friends, so I'm sure they would sign off. They would, like, make sure they sign off on anything. I'm just like, I don't want them anywhere near stuff like that, because it's still Michael P.S. Hayes. I mean, I'm sorry, it's still the same people in charge. I'm like, certain storylines, like especially on the stuff I see on Raw, like no, I do not want to see that on SmackDown. I still have nightmares of Tori Wilson, Dawn Marie. We don't need to go down that road again.
are you still watching the football game?
I've been going on Twitter seeing all these highlights of these amazing passes Russell Wilson is drawing. I don't watch the game. I'm going to show you because I'm a professional.
Hey, it's easy to shut your brain off and watch sports, in my opinion. But they're doing a segment here with Roman Reigns at halftime. He's getting rained on in a very nice three-piece suit. They just were showing all the different NFL celebrations that were imitating wrestlers.
How about that?
Yep, they are, again, Fox is really going out of their way to push this thing.
As they should, they spent all that money. I guess we can wrap up soon. I would just say this. I don't know who's going to win tomorrow. Everyone assumed Brock Lesnar. I would just say if this is the end for Kofi Kingston, it's been an awesome run. He has represented himself well. And hopefully this is not the last time he wins that title. I just know it's going to be some sad days in the black community when Brock squashes him in 2 minutes and gets his hand raised up like Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, I did feel like there's an, especially with the way he beat down Ray on Monday, that I feel like there might be some shenanigans involved to keep the belt on Kofi.
Beat down Ray. Don't forget what he did to his son, Walter Jr. Oh, I know Dominic's trained to be a wrestler, but damn, I was like, Brock, he's just a kid.
I am pretty sure that no one has had a worse opening night in their wrestling career than Dominic. Even though he looked like he took all of those bumps like a champ, especially, like, I can't believe that he landed fairly well, in my opinion, on that German suplex. Wow.
I was just watching it. I was like, you know what? As soon as I started looking down, I'm like, he about to fuck this little boy up. I'm like, okay, they just going to see. They ain't gonna, maybe he just shake him around a little bit. Like, nope, I'm taking you to Suplex City because fuck them kids. And Brock, you just forget, like, Brock has pushed a man with one leg in a wheelchair down some steps. Like, Brock can be cruel, like a kung fu villain cruel. Like, when he wants to be evil, he can be evil. And it's just like, you know, most of the time you come out there, hop up and down, my client, blah, 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 and he might, like, beat up, like, Heath Slater every 6 months. It's been a while since he's been on, like, you know, he tried to cripple Seth Rollins. And then he already put the boots to Ray. It's like, Ray didn't do nothing. He just minded his business, won a title shot for his son. And then he did that to Dominic. And then I laughed when you heard the ambulance during the other match. I'm like, is Scott Steiner coming? I'm like, no, that's just them going to the medical facility. And the cops want to talk to Brock Lesnar. You ain't getting arrested for whipping somebody's ass. This is wrestling.
Yeah, I was kind of amused that the police were even invoked. I know that they really didn't do anything with that segment.
Can't be beating up fans, I guess. I mean, Dominic didn't go in the ring. He was just minding his business, so you just can't be beating. Like, you know, yeah. I was thinking, I know it's not going to happen. I could just imagine Brock grabbing one of Kofi's kids, like the six-year-old, and suplexing him.
Oh my god.
And then the Fox brass is like, what the hell did we just pay for? What is this? I thought this was PG content. Why is Brock suplex the 8-year-old?
Oh man, that.
Can you imagine the air that little boy would give with an F5?
Oh. my God. That would be pretty terrible.
Yes, well, I don't know why I thought that. I just had the visual in my head.
Well,
my
I just
damn it, not like this.
I would not want to know what he would do with the German suplex. That kid would probably hit the outside of the ring. I mean, he almost... Dominic is a large man-child, and he tossed him goddamn across the ring.
No. If he by chance suplex one of Kofi Kingston's adolescent children, that boy rolling into the Fox Football Studio. He landed at Kurt Menefee's feet.
Oh, man.
I don't know why I thought about that, but I was thinking that when I was watching Monday. Like, thank God Eric Bischoff is running SmackDown, not Paul Heyman, because Paul would have him do it. It's like, yeah, we're going to start off with a bang. Take that boy to Suplex City.
Yeah, I guess I did not think about the implications. Well, maybe it's a good thing that Heyman isn't running cuck stories on SmackDown. But I guess since I've traditionally liked SmackDown more, I guess I'd kind of rather Paul Heyman be running it than Raw.
But not, I don't know about this current version of Paul Heyman. Like, Paul's like, he's going through some women issues right now. So, I mean, I'm looking, I doubt that's going to happen. If Kofi won with a small package, I would laugh, but I doubt that's going to happen either.
No.
I'm just looking forward to see, before we go, I was beginning to joke with my friends. I'm like, the funniest way for SmackDown to end is if The Rock was the special guest referee and screwed Kofi out the title, because he's like, I'm going to be the only true black world champion. You may go steal my spotlight.
Oh, wow. That's
just to see how wrestling Twitter would explode, because I was thinking, like, what's the thing that could just cause the most slight noise? It'd be like The Rock turning heel, screwing Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, that would cause a lot of noise. I'm not sure that in a lot of ways I could see The Rock going for it, but in a lot of other ways, just like the way he presents himself for his movies and everything, I'm not sure he'd really want to do that, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Wait, we're not going to watch Jumanji because The Rock's a heel? Like,
I'm ready for
Jumanji. I don't even know if that audience, like, is a... It's been such a long time since The Rock was a full-time wrestler. It's like a whole generation or two that never knew he wrestled. They just know him like, oh, this is the guy that does movies. He used to wrestle.
Oh, yeah, because I know that I heard that number recently when someone was talking about him filming The Mummy 2, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And what? Because
like 2001.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that, so...
Yeah, and he's been in the movies full-time for, like, 15 years at this point. It's just like, holy shit.
I mean, like, it's people, like, if you know The Rock as a wrestler, like, oh, yeah, when he wrestled John Cena. You would have no idea, like, what Stone Cold? Huh? I was born 4 years later. Like, he was 13 or 14, but you watched him when he was, like, four? When he wrestled Cena and CM Punk, it was kind of like, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't like doing that whole fantasy booking thing because I think it's nerdy. But I'm just real curious to see what happens Friday, just because I'm excited about wrestling again. I remember it was a time when I was kind of like burned down on wrestling. I was like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this shit. I feel stupid. And now I actually enjoy watching it again. So, kudos to them, both WWE and AEW and everybody else.
Well, that seems like a perfect way to wrap this one up. I'm at DeFrang11. He's at Philly Drugs. Philly_Drugs, if I'm not mistaken, actually. Brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us. And I will let Shahid close it out.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi and Brock Lesnar. Please don't suplex Kofi's kids. We are out.